Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is 410, 79 degrees on this Wednesday, June 11th, 2025. How's everyone doing? If you're listening on the Odyssey app, is that all working all well now? I still can't get it up on my phone, but I know some people have gotten it fine on their mobile device. So, let me know if you are getting us on the Odyssey app today. I know we were having some technical difficulties over the past day, but just want to gauge where we're at with that. So I shared a missing persons earlier or mid last week, early to mid last week, and it was in the Norfolk, Virginia area. There was a 21-year-old young sailor that was reported missing from Naval Base Norfolk, it is the largest naval base on the East Coast. Thousands of sailors there. Family stated that she has never gone a day without contacting them or her sister, that she was last seen at her barracks at Naval Station Norfolk and was reported missing. She did not report to work. There were no charges on her credit cards, debit cards. There was no cell phone activity. From an investigative standpoint, it was not good. And here, this is a 21-year-old, you know, beautiful young woman serving her country from Texas, away from her family, living in the barracks. She was a culinary specialist, a whole life in front of her, and reported missing. And, you know, we were trying to share it, anyone in the naval community, as much as possible. Friends of mine who were down in the Virginia Beach, Norfolk area were sharing it. People in the Navy in general were sharing it. And people all over Virginia, especially the Norfolk area, were sharing it back and forth. The NCIS, the Virginia State Police, and the Norfolk Police had to be on the lookout for this missing young woman. Had her pictures, what her backpack looked like, a description of it, a photo of it. Well, yesterday it came out that Navy officials on Thursday discovered a body in a wooded area in Norfolk, Virginia, and the local medical examiner has confirmed it to be missing Navy seaman Angelina Resnes. Resnes, 21, was last seen on May 29th at her barracks in Miller Hall Naval Station, Norfolk, around 10 p.m., according to Virginia State Police and the Naval Criminal Investigative Service, NCIS. A Navy sailor has been placed in pretrial confinement in connection with the death of Seaman Resnes. Charges under Uniform Code of Military Justice are pending, NCIS said in a statement. NCIS said that it has worked tirelessly in close coordination with Navy leadership, the Norfolk Police Department, Virginia State Police, Virginia Search and Rescue, and numerous other federal and local law enforcement partners to pursue all leads since learning the seaman's disappearance. NCIS remains committed to uncovering the facts surrounding the tragic death of the seaman to ensure accountability and justice. Police previously described her disappearance as critical, saying her health was at risk. The enlisted Navy sailor's mother, Esmeralda Castle, who lives in the hometown of Texas, described her daughter as loving and kind in an interview. She worked as a culinary specialist for the Navy, Castle said. Castle said that her daughter had not responded to calls or texts from her family, which was out of the character. Her and my sister have a 400-day streak on Snapchat. Every single day, she talks to somebody. She talks to family. She talks to a friend, the mother told the reporters. 21-year-old did not drive or have a vehicle. She was reported missing after she failed to show up for work. She just stopped existing Thursday. She spent no money. She made no calls. She disappeared, Castle told the outlet. It was very hard telling people that she was missing. NCIS said that they will not be releasing further information at this time while the investigation remains ongoing out of respect for the investigative process. The fact that they are holding someone in pretrial confinement, my guess, and again, I have no more information that has been publicly released, but my guess is they did a dump of all her technology, Hopefully her cell phone, her cars, everything spoke to everyone that is in her atmosphere at her barracks. If there was any sort of relationship with her and someone else where there appears to be some sort of relationship, and I don't know what that is, or at least some sort of contact with another sailor, the sailor that's under arrest, does not say if it's a male or female, does not give any more situation than that. But these cases, especially in a controlled environment like that, where there are plenty of cameras, where, you know, people do live together, they talk together, they at least live next door to each other. A lot of these barracks are shared where two to four to a room, you know, girls talk. Find if there was any boyfriends, ex-boyfriends, were they seeing anybody? Was anyone, you know, pursuing them as far as a romantic relationship? You know, all that gets into depth. And then you follow cell phone records. Where was her last whereabouts? Where was the last ping on the cell phone? Her body was discovered about 10 miles from the base in a community, out in the public, you know, in an apartment complex. These apartment complexes are commonly rented by enlisted or naval personnel that are assigned to either Norfolk Base or Oceana, the two big bases that are there. You have a few smaller bases there as well, like Dam Neck and Little Creek and such like that. They obviously narrowed this down. They figured out a search pattern, and thankfully, although tragic, the body was found. And it's, you know, we've been following this, of course. You know, my son is assigned to Virginia Beach, which is only 20 minutes from this location. My daughter's a nurse in Norfolk now. So when a young lady, 21 years old, goes missing, you know, it's concerning. It's concerning. And I have friends in the naval community that are either assigned or live in the Virginia Beach, Norfolk area, and they've all been sharing this, and I've been sharing this. If you follow me on social media, you've seen, even when this first started, when she just went missing, you know, we were sharing that, hoping that she would be found, hoping that maybe, you know, she was having, at 21 years old, second thoughts of the military, and maybe just went AWOL. But apparently that's not the case, and there is some sort of nefarious activity behind this now that somebody else is in custody, pretrial confinement. Although no charges have been found, there's been no allegations made or something like that, I think everyone can start putting, you know, some pieces together, which I'd be cautious on. But, I mean, we do have a dead body. We do have, it was recovered in a private apartment complex 10 miles from the base. Someone is in custody, so obviously foul play is involved here. Now, if that foul play, based on toxicology and a lot of other things, there may be other things behind this. Was this, you know, a lover's spat that went bad? Was this just an assault on a young woman, sailor? We'll find that out. You know, were the two doing something they shouldn't have been doing, and somebody maybe overdosed and they got panicked and dumped the body? You know, toxicology will figure that out. Statements will figure that out. But at this point, there's no reason to believe that whatsoever. Thankfully, there's some closure for the family, because in the Norfolk, Virginia Beach area, with the canals and the ocean and everything right there, the fact that they recovered a body, the fact that it was in an apartment or near an apartment complex right there, is going to help the investigation. And I'm looking at it from that standpoint now. Nothing can bring this young lady back. You know, I feel for her family. Just seeing a young 21-year-old in this area where I have children that frequent on a daily basis concerned me greatly, which is why I was involved with sharing the information when she was just a missing person. But hopefully we get more information here. It's not going to bring closure to the family as far as bringing their daughter back. But it angers me too, because here's a young, beautiful 21-year-old girl who decided to dedicate her life, at least the beginning portion of it, to our service, to America, to our military. And her life is taken from her. Far away from home. Don't really know how long she served for. Nor do I really care. I don't care if it was a month. I don't care if it was 3 years or 20 years. You know, she made the decision to sign on that dotted line. She made the decision to go through boot camp. She made the decision to raise her right hand and swear an oath to our Constitution. And her life was taken away from her by some sort of possibly criminal act. And if that was by aggression, then I hope they hold that person. One of the things that gets me in this case, and I've actually reached out for some context here. Now, the UCMJ is very unforgiving when it comes to members of the military. So a lot of times it's better that it takes that. But the fact that the body was found off base on public city property, the fact that NCIS is the lead investigators here, now they obviously were in charge of the missing person because she was active duty military. But the fact that the body was found in the municipal's jurisdiction, the fact that they or the Virginia State Police are not taking more of a lead, I'm waiting to see, you know, more specifics before I can judge that. Usually, wherever the body is found is where, or wherever the crime occurred, and it usually starts with where the body's found, is the lead in cases. But being said, the UCMJ, the Military Code of Justice, is very strong. Doesn't have to follow a lot of the same rules as our public judicial system. So that could be one of the reasons why you do not have, although you have many of the rights that everyone else has, some of them are more restrictive, especially if you're active duty military, which it appears the person they're holding in pretrial confinement, which would be before a grand jury is convened, shows that. So that gives me some pause to make any other sort of judgment on this. And again, because we don't know all the facts, but just a tragic situation all around. And because I've been sharing this missing person, I know a lot of people have been asking questions about it and commenting on my post of the missing person. The fact that we found out 2 days ago that she was in fact recovered the body and is deceased. Just a tragic ending to this story. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So we did get the news that U.S. and China has reached a deal to ease export curbs to keep tariff truce alive. U.S. and Chinese officials said on Tuesday that they had agreed on a framework to get their trade truce back on track and remove China's export restrictions on rare earth minerals, while offering a little sign of a durable resolution to longstanding trade tensions. Now, the markets are acting phenomenal to this, but again, it's a framework. It's not a done deal. Nothing's been signed, but it is heading in the right direction, which no one thought these things would be easy. No one thought it would just be, okay, you know, that's it. We met for an hour. We agree. But it's headed in the right direction. The Geneva deal had faltered over China's continued curbs on critical mineral exports, prompting the Trump administration to respond with export controls of its own, preventing shipments of semiconductor-designed software, aircraft, and other goods to China. Well, that resulted in bilateral meetings again. Lutnick said the agreement reached in London would remove restrictions on Chinese exports of rare earth minerals and magnets and some of the recent U.S. export restrictions in a balanced way. But it did not provide details after the talks concluded around midnight London time. Now, the positive for that is both President Trump and Xi Jinping have commented positively about this movement. So the fact that both are on the same page now, where it's not been, you know, Donald Trump is saying that they're close to a deal and China is saying, no, we're not, or vice versa. The fact that they're both coming away from this meeting, both leaders, in the same direction with the same positivity is a good sign, and one of the reasons why the markets picked up on that. We have reached a framework to implement the Geneva consensus and the call between the two presidents, Lutnick said, adding that both sides will now return to present the framework to their respective presidents for approval. And if that's approved, we will then implement the framework with a done deal. In a separate briefing, Chinese Vice Commerce Minister also said the trade framework had been reached in principle that would be taken back to the U.S. and Chinese leaders. U.S. President Donald Trump shifting tariff policies have rolled global markets, sparked congestion and confusion in major ports, and cost companies tens of billions of dollars in waiting to see what happens. People who do business in China, people who do business here that are from China, are basically in a stalemate. They're in a waiting game. The World Bank on Tuesday slashed the global growth forecast by 2025 by 0.4 percentage point to 2.3, saying that higher tariffs and heightened uncertainty pose a significant headwind, but we are in the right direction. Now, again, when it comes to how the economy's portrayed, when it comes to how anything's portrayed with this administration, just listen to our news breaks from ABC News or Bloomberg and such like that. You know, you have the company Nintendo coming out and saying they have the best sales ever in the history of their gaming devices, but you have Bloomberg saying, well, worries about tariffs maybe stymieing Nintendo Switch's new game console. You know, the two just don't match out. You know, yes, inflation is lower than expected, but the unpredictability of tariffs leave a cloud over the Trump financial economic future. This is the way they portray things to you. It can't just be like, hey, since this administration has taken office, inflation has been under predicted increases each and every month. They don't want to tell you that. And it goes with everything. You know, like I said at the beginning of the show, they were talking, LA officials were talking about the curfew in LA because of the riots. CNN was covering it live, and the second they started describing the exact incidents that were happening, how many law enforcement officers were assaulted, how many horses were assaulted, how many vehicles have been damaged, CNN cut away because they didn't want to hear that. They wanted to hear about the blame, pointing fingers at Washington and the Trump administration. They wanted to hear about the curfew because obviously they got to get that information out there. But the second they started saying that things on the ground aren't really good here, and we have to continue the curfew, we have to continue putting more law enforcement out on the field, CNN cut away from that because they didn't want to portray that narrative rather than just let you decide what your eyes are seeing. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement. Proud to say on this day, June 11th, we have none from Pennsylvania that made the ultimate sacrifice. That being said, I do want to talk about a case here where a Dunmore man faces gun charges following an altercation in the borough. Officers were investigating a report of a man assaulted by juveniles at the 300 block of North Blakely Street around 12:43 a.m. They were informed by county dispatchers that the firearm was pointed at the man in the 100 block of West Warren Street, a short distance from the assault call, according to a criminal complaint. While traveling on West Warren Street, an officer stopped three juveniles walking away from the assault scene, later determined to have been involved in the altercation, and transported them to the borough police station. During the drive to the police station, officers were notified of a man walking east on West Pine Street towards the police station who was holding a firearm in the road. After turning onto West Pine Street, officers spotted the man walking south on Keystone Court. Two other responding officers exited their patrol car and issued verbal commands to the man, later identified as Zachai Rosario, who was walking away from them, according to the criminal complaint. A handgun and its magazine fell out of Rosario's waistband, and he attempted to zip his hooded sweatshirt after turning around. Officers were also able to see a rifle underneath his sweatshirt, police said. Rosario fully cooperated with officers once the handgun fell out of his waistband, according to the criminal complaint, thankfully. When officers were apprehending Rosario, they found that he had a Glock 23 handgun, an American 223 long rifle, and a 9mm handgun, later determined to have ineligible, deliberately obliterated serial numbers, police said. So a crossed-out serial number, a defaced firearm. Police charged Rosario 21 with possession of a firearm with the manufacturer number altered. As of Tuesday, Rosario remained in Lackawanna County Prison in lieu of $100,000 bail. A preliminary hearing is set for June 17th. Now, it really doesn't get into much more than that. But this could have been a situation that went very bad, very fast. Here's an individual with two handguns and a long gun, an AR type. Well, it doesn't say that. It just says a long 223 rifle. Now, an AR does have 223, but it could easily be, you know, another type of rifle that had 223. So I shouldn't assume that. Now, that said, was this individual the victim of the three juveniles? And was he looking to find them? What if he found them before the police found him and found them? So it just goes to show you, our law enforcement out there, this is almost 1 a.m, you know, what they're doing to protect you or I. They get a call of juveniles pointing a firearm at an individual. Then they find the juveniles allegedly involved with that. And then they find get a report of a guy walking with a rifle. Finds out he has two handguns, you know, turned around from the police. The handgun fell out of his waistband. Thankfully, he complied. Thankfully, he didn't force these officers' hands, because you are dealing with an individual with three firearms. So it just goes to show the danger, the dedication, and you know, the local heroes we have out there day in and day out. This could have been a very bad situation very quickly, and it turns out that due to the diligent work of law enforcement and their training, this was ended up in arrests. The way it's supposed to, if everything works perfectly and no one exacerbates the incident or a mistake is made. So great job for the Dunmore law enforcement that are involved with this. Great job on the dispatchers getting them the timely information. And good job for the armed suspect that's now under arrest for complying, because that is a big part of this. It is 4:41 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 4:40, almost 4:46 here, 80 degrees on this Wednesday, June 11th, 2025. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been on this day, June 11th? Let's see, some historic events. 1963, President John F. Kennedy delivers his landmark civil rights address. JFK addressed the nation from the Oval Office, calling civil rights a moral issue and proposing legislation that would later become the Civil Rights Act of 1964. This came hours after federal authorities had to intervene in Alabama to ensure two black students could enroll at the University of Alabama. 1963 as well, stand at the schoolhouse door. Alabama Governor George Wallace, same event, attempted to block the integration of the University of Alabama by physically standing in the entrance to stop African-American students Vivian Malone and James Hood from entering. He relented only when confronted by federal marshals sent by President Kennedy. 1955, first study links smoking to cancer. The U.S. government issued the first report linking cigarette smoking to lung cancer in men. This laid the groundwork for decades of public health campaigns. Could you imagine the lobbying that was going on back in 1955 to prevent the government from issuing that report? You could only imagine. 2001, Timothy McVeigh was executed. The Oklahoma City bomber was executed by lethal injection. His act of domestic terrorism in 1995 killed 168 people, remains one of the deadliest attacks on U.S. soil. Some notable births, Richard Strauss, 1864 to 1949. Though German, the music was later controversially linked to the nationalist movement and American orchestras, often stirring political and cultural conversations in the U.S. Gene Wilder, 1933 to 2016, beloved American actor, known for his roles in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Young Frankenstein, and Blazing Saddles. And we also have the death today reported of one of the Beach Boys. So that's today in history. Now that you know, let's go to the phone now. We have Elle from Wayne County. Elle, how are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
All right.
Well, before the break, I heard you say that the protesters were hurting the horses.
Five LAPD horses were assaulted.
LAPD.
Yes.
Okay. So where is PETA and the animal, all the other animal rights organizations? I want to know.
Well, law enforcement horses don't count. Elle, you know this.
Oh, this is, come on. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Well, I know horses. That. You know that. But to them, they don't.
I love horses. And you know what? We all need to call PETA. We all need to call PETA. Because this is not right. Horses are a fabulous animal. And where would we have ever been in the world without horses?
I agree. But you know what PETA would tell you? Law enforcement shouldn't be using horses for law enforcement duty. That's what they'll tell you. Because that's their stance.
You know what? I can't remember ever hearing that horses were hurt when the law enforcement was using them. I can't ever remember hearing that.
It goes back all the time. Back in the early days of New York City, the longshoremen used to throw boxes of marbles on the cobblestone street to prevent the NYPD from using horses.
When they were on strike.
So yeah, it goes back decades. There's been ways, the Longshoremen Union, when they used to go on strike, because the mounted unit of the NYPD was such a great crowd control tool, they would take them out of the equation by dropping big boxes of marbles, thousands of marbles on the street. So the horses had to be withdrawn.
Oh my gosh.
But it's not, almost every riot that I've been a part of, they've attacked the horses just as much as they've attacked us, throwing objects at them. You know, that's why if you look, the LAPD mounted unit horses have shields over their faces.
Wow.
So they do have protective equipment. But the last reports that I had from the LAPD were 5 officers were assaulted and 5 horses were assaulted.
Wow. That's just inhumane. I just cannot even fathom that. Like I said, I love horses, and these people are just plain evil. That's all they are, is just plain evil. And if nobody understands that, like, Rob, when you started the show with all Clinton and all those people speaking, that really needs to be played every single day, because you can determine the names, even if you don't say this speech is Clinton, this speech is Obama, this speech is Hillary. You can tell who they are by their voices.
Oh, no doubt. And even though I played it coming from them directly, I still have people on the text message line saying it's not the same. They're not saying the same thing that they're saying today. No, they're saying exactly the same thing that's being asked for today. They're saying exactly the same thing. But you have people that say, nope, it's not the same. Nope. They meant something different, not this way it's being done now. At least someone has the guts to actually do it and not just lie to you to your face. So
absolutely. That's what I said all along when President Trump was going in. I said, he's the first one that had the guts to do anything about it. And that's why they gave him so much trouble all along the way, because they knew that they were going to be done. They knew they were going to be found out, and they knew that we weren't going to stand for it. So,
all right, Elle, I appreciate you checking in today. And let me know if you call PETA on what they say about the LAPD horses being assaulted.
Yeah, I will.
All right. Thank you, Elle. It's 4:52 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. And this coming out of Los Angeles, and it just goes to show that the misinformation that's out there. In a tearful Instagram video Friday, an Instagram user said he heard that parents were fleeing a graduation ceremony at Greats Elementary School, leaving their children behind upon hearing ICE presence because they didn't have papers, and left their kids because they do. And the kids are freaking grabbing teachers, crying on their legs because they don't know if they're about to see their parents get taken away by ICE. Stated on a video saying, what the F is this? Video was seen 7 million times, creating panic. And this is where you see, well, ICE is raiding graduations or raiding high schools. Well, there was a fact check, and this is coming from the Los Angeles Times, is posting this. The fact check is on Monday, a Los Angeles Unified School District Superintendent, Alberto Carvalho said there was no confirmed threat to a Friday culmination at Grates Elementary, located just west of downtown. We've investigated it, Carvalho said during a news interview, and that the reports came back to him that no such event happened. So here's an individual posting that ICE is raiding an elementary school graduation. Parents are fleeing because they're undocumented, leaving their elementary school kids behind. The kids are in panic, crying, holding their teachers' legs because they don't know if they're going to see their parents get taken away. 7 million views. The school district has to come out and say, this never happened. It's not true. None of it's true. So that's the kind of rhetoric that's out there. That's the kind of nonsense that's being out there. This individual still has a social media platform that put this out there. And of course, you know, the fallback is, you know, I was told by parents. Well, what parents were you told? How do you know this? Where did you get this from? No, it was to create that panic. It was to create that narrative so people can say, well, I saw it on the internet. It's true. Just like Katy Perry posting about how California was once Mexico, so anybody from Mexico who's in California deserves to be there. You know, it's just the way it is. So I gave a history of the possession of the territory of California. It was actually only possessed by Mexico for a little over 20 years. It was actually Spain who basically kicked the Native Americans out at the time. Spain then and Mexico had it for a little bit, and then we got it. And there's treaties and such that, you know, people who lived there at the time had an option to stay and become American citizens or leave. And if they stayed and did not become American citizens, then they were here illegally. So, you know, I posted a history of the possession of that because you have Katy Perry. She's got a pretty, you know, she's an astronaut now, right? So she has a pretty great following telling people that, you know, California was Mexico's anyway. It used to be Mexico. Yeah. Okay. I used to be a lot of things, but it's not. And if you look at the history as a total of the territory of California, it was only Mexico's possession for a very short amount of time. So, you know, I posted that and people are like, well, you know, you're missing the point here. No, I'm not missing the point. Katy Perry, with platforms of millions of viewers, basically said that Mexico and Mexicans have a right to California. Well, it's just not true. Mexico barely had a right to California because they really didn't possess it for very long, and Spain had it for more than Mexico. So I gave a history of that territory because that's what I like to do. You know, I like to dig into stuff like that. Quite honestly, give it back. I don't really care. I don't think most of us would. Would solve a lot of issues now, wouldn't it? Well, except for some of them. Coming up on the 5 o'clock hour here on WILK News Radio. In the 5 o'clock hour, we do have Senator Dave McCormick coming on. He's going to tell us about some things going on out in Pittsburgh. He's going to tell us about some things going on our side of the state, on the Commonwealth, and Democrats, again, on the wrong side of immigration enforcement, basically what's going on now. So we'll be back. It's 5 o'clock.